Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, telling our ministry of empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. The scripture said, oh, magnify the Lord, and let us exalt his name on together. And on today, we want to come together and just exalt the name of Jesus and lift him up and give his name all the praise, glory, and honor that is actually due unto him. Truly, he's great, and he is greatly to be praised. I'm excited today about all of God's goodness, his mercy, and his grace. But I wanted to, at the beginning of our session on today, is just to take a moment of silence and honor of and respect of the loss of Michael Jackson, who I believe that God used him in his own ranks and time and season to touch the world and touch the lives of many people through music. I just want to take a moment of silence, and one of you bear with me for just a moment and go with me for a moment of silence. Thank you very much. Truly, God is just great, and he's greatly to be praised and to receive all the praise, glory, and honor. On today, our lesson is going to be the importance of bearing fruit, and we can find our lesson text going to be taken over in Mark chapter number 11, verses 12 to verse number 21, and it will read on this line, and now the morning, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing the fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the times of figs were not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of these hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it, and they came to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seat of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should be carried any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when we was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. We want to look at verse number 13 as our basis of our service and our lesson on today. It reads on this line, and seeing the fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the fig was not yet. On today, children of God, we must recognize that God expects every part of his kingdom to be fruitful, the church, the ministry, and the child of God. God is looking for fruit out of our lives. As children of God, as the church, and as ministry, God is looking for a fruit from our lives. Now, when we look at the scripture, several of the prophets and Jesus himself referred to Israel symbolically as a fig tree. In such an account, Matthew 24 tells of the things to look for concerning the second coming of the Lord. One notable sign is that the fig tree will put forth its tender branches. The event of Israel becoming a nation in 1948 may reveal much of the meaning of the prophecies recorded in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 32 through 34 reads, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." According to Matthew 24, verse 32 and 34 through 34. However, fig tree budding and putting forth leaves is not only a prophetic subject, it has a practical side that applies to Christian living today. They healthily grow and bear fruit. It's important. In creation, God placed everything within every living thing the ability to reproduce. A fruit tree bears fruit, and the fruit contains seed so that the tree may reproduce itself and self-perpetuate. It is not only imperative that the tree and plants reproduce, but it is vital that the child of God reproduce their faith in others. It is essential that we bear the fruit of soul winning, lest we become extinct. And so it's very important for us to share our faith and to encourage and to pass our faith on. Now, let's take a look here at the barren tree. Jesus had just experienced the triumphant entry into Jerusalem as recorded in Mark 11, verses 1 through 10. The multitude had praised him in a greater way than ever before, crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," Mark 11 and 9. After this great expression of adoration from the multitude, Jesus and his disciples retired to the city of Bethany for the evening. Now, Bethany was not far from Jerusalem and the vicinity known as Mount Olives. Jesus went to Bethany on many occasions when he was in the area of Jerusalem. Simon's house was in Bethany, and possibly this is where Jesus stayed for the night. And you can look in the passage of Scripture, Luke 19 and verse number 29. Also Mark chapter number 14 and 3. Now, Jesus was hungry. During Jesus' journey back to Jerusalem, he became hungry. We'll see Mark chapter 11, verse 12. That Jesus grew hungry was proof that he was man. And as a man, he grew hungry. And as a God, he created the tree that will bear the fruit from which he would eat. As a man, Jesus experienced the same hunger and experiences as other men. However, as God, he said, "I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." John 6 and 35. Jesus was both God and man, human and divinity. The great revelation of who Jesus was and who he is today still offer reason for rejoicing. The truth of who he is appearing throughout the scriptures. Now, let's take a look here. Desiring fruit from the tree. Jesus looked at the fig tree and mentioned in Mark 11 to satisfy his hunger. Since he created the tree to bear fruit, he expected to find fruit on the tree. His awareness that the tree has the ability to bear fruit was possible the reason of this rebuke. Jesus also has clear expectation for his church. For one, the desire and purpose of the church should be to fulfill the plan of God, which the scripture clearly reveals. that over in 1 Peter and 2 it reads, but ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, the Apostle Peter revealed in 1 Peter 2 and 9 that God created us to praise him. God has always desired spontaneous praise from his people. The willful rendering of praise to God is one of the holy purposes of the church. Jesus looked to find the fruit of praises among those who bear his name. If he does not find the fruit of praise in us, then we fail to fulfill one of our primary purpose in the church. We must bear the fruit of praise and giving God the praise. In everything, give him thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. He's not saying thanking him for the trouble, but just giving him thanks while you're there. That will bear a fruit in the time of tribulation, a time of testing. We are still yet bearing a fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of crisis, fruit is still yet bringing forth. It was very moving to even look today and listen to the memorial service of Michael Jackson. I'm reminded of one of the readings that was read by Queen Latifah from Maya Angelou that was very, very special. How she went on to say that how God given us this gift that was among us. And as you begin to really, really look deeply into that, you can really recognize that God used the same thing. Now, go with me. It's a little deep here now. Stay spiritual. It's spiritual. Stay spiritual with me. God used, when I was looking at that particular service, God gave me a revelation. He began to minister to my heart, the Holy Spirit, is that how God used this young man at a very young, tender age, gifted him so giftedly with musical talent, as well as the ability to dance and entertain. Now, and not only did God bless this gentleman or this young man with this gift, but he also used him to be able to touch around the globe, across cultures, across nationalities, and across country, to use this individual in a form of music. Now, when we look at that, we can begin to recognize that it was the music aspect that God kicked Lucifer out of heaven and things, because it was around of the music and how he thought himself was much better, and he self ascended to heaven like he was God, and God kicked him out of heaven and things, because he began to say, I. But when I was looking at the memorial service, I said, God, look how you have used the same thing that the enemy was trying to destroy and who he was called to play music before him, how God used music to weave the hearts and soul of individual to turn towards this, even though it was this young man, but it was the gift from God that God was using him. Even when you listen to the music and the messages that he was saying, even within the music, you could hear the fruit of God trying to get a message to the people. But I thought about it deeply, because I began to say, God, look how phenomenal that you are, that you use this individual where the people are at to bring their hearts towards love. And God is love. That was his message about love and about us coming together and breaking down the barriers and the racial barriers and all the other barriers that were there. And so he bared great fruit even in the musical realm. And so God has gifted the body of Christ. As we turn back, now go with me now, as we turn back and give all of the praise and the glory and the honor unto the Creator, who is God himself. And he was Jesus Christ. He was God manifested in the flesh, walking upon the face of the earth, Jesus Christ. And so these giftings that God has given unto us, and it's so good to hear people giving God the praise and giving God the glory for the gift that God has given unto us. We are to show forth the praises of our God with every gift, every talent that God has so graciously bestowed upon our lives. Now, let's look further at the lesson, promise but no proof. Jesus is set to find fruit on the fig tree because of its appearance. Evidently, it appeared healthy, and it must have been the right season for bearing fruit. Still, it had none. And seeing the fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, as if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Mark 11 and 13. Several things from the verse of Scripture are worthy to mention. Now, let's look here. Number one, had leaves only. The leaves that Jesus saw from a distance were a promise that the tree was a fig tree. When Jesus arrived at the tree, however, he was saddened to find only leaves and no fruit. He was not looking for healthy leaves. He wanted to find figs. The horticulturist have stated that if a fig tree keeps its leaves through the winter, it should have figs also. Now, when Jesus saw the leaves, the natural assumption was that he would find figs. The fact that Jesus looked for the fig made it obvious that the time of gathering the figs was not yet. Mark 11:13. This does not mean that it was not time for figs to be on the tree. Rather, it means that it was not yet harvest time for gathering the figs, so figs should have been on the tree. Just to know that Jesus looked at the tree expecting to find the figs should be proof enough that the figs have not yet been gathered. Now, let's look at another point. Looked like a fig tree. The tree looked as a fig tree should, even from a distance. One would think that if a fig tree appear healthy, has leaves, the season is ripe for bearing fruit when it should have fig fruit on it. Such was the case, was not the case with this tree. In similar fashion, a person's outward appearance reveals much about that person and its association. Clearly, it is important how a child of God dresses and conducts himself. Their outward appearance should reveal his desire to reflect the holiness of his master or God. When others see them, they should sense that this is a person of modesty and godliness. Still, appearance is not enough. It was not enough for the fig tree to look like a fig tree. It is insufficient for us only to look like a Christian. Now, let's go to point number three. Fruit is the proof. The fact that there was no fruit brought the curse. The true tree was not cursed on the basis of its appearance, but for having no fruit. The proof of who we are and who we represent is in the fruit we bear. When we possess the fruit of the Spirit within, we are living proof of the power of the gospel. We must do more than just look the part. We must be what we claim to be. Bearing the fruit of Jesus Christ is vital today, for many profess to be Christian who may look like Christian, but who do not share the apostolic doctrine, faith, and experience. The apostolic church must bear fruit of the apostolic church, which emanates from the Holy Spirit within. Now, let me read a story here. One man once went into a restaurant and requested a ribeye steak from the menu. The waiter politely informed the customer that the steak was no longer available. The customer was very disappointed. He believed that if it was on the menu, it should be have been available. He stated, don't advertise it on the menu if you don't have it in the kitchen. And so it is with our lives. We must be able to have it also in the kitchen as we are appetizing it as well in the heart, in our soul, mind, and spirit. Now, fourthly, the tree was unprofitable because the tree had no fruit. It was unprofitable. In the same sense, God looks to the church to have spiritual fruit. And if we find none, what profit is the church to him? Every Christian should desire to be profitable to the kingdom of God and bear fruit. Now, we must begin to ask ourselves, am I being profitable unto the church? Am I bearing fruit in the church by bringing our gifts and talents and making sure that every joint is supplying and that we're moving and working in the kingdom of God and the house of God, not only inside of the house of God, but as well as on the outside of the house of God. And I believe that that's why I was so moved when people begin to share some of the things and the work that Michael Jackson did, even in Congress and all of the various different places that he was at and was invited to, how that he bare fruit. He also made an impact as well in the lives of the people that were there. And it's important for us to be fruit-bearing people and things, not only hearer of the word, but also doers of the word as well. Now, let us look further into our lesson, because I believe that this is just so wonderful about God, how he would even have this message or this word for people on such a somber time and day throughout this world. Now, Jesus cursed the tree. When Jesus inspected the tree and found no fruit, he cursed the tree. And when Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee thereafter forever. And his disciple heard it. Mark 11:14. Matthew records of the same account state, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Matthew 21:19. Christians should bear fruit for Jesus Christ, lest they also receive the same curse. It is imperative that we bear fruit for his cause. Matthew 21:19 declares that the tree withereth. When we are not fruit bearers, we will dry up and wither away spiritually. In other words, when we do not fulfill our intended purpose for Christ, we are stunted and of no benefit to the kingdom of God. Moreover, failure to bear fruit leaves us unfulfilled, unchallenged, unmotivated. Those who have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them should live by the power of the Spirit so that they may bear his fruit and fulfill their purpose in his kingdom. Now, we must fulfill our purpose as never before. Now, let's look here. The barren temple. The barren fruit fig tree was a prelude to what Jesus found in the temple. What Jesus saw when he arrived at the temple and the incident with the barren tree parallel each other. Jesus found all kinds of activity in the temple except the kind of activity that should have been taking place there. Now let's look here. The house of God misused. Every time that God's house and God's people are not operating according to the intended purpose, misuse results. Even in the event that there is no activity, it is a misuse of the temple. God never intended for his church to be an idle place. He intended for it to be vibrant, working, active, and moving. Two things that Jesus found in the temple are mentioned below. Number one, he found money changers. The money changers that Jesus found in the temple made their living by providing what some might term as a service to the worshiper. In those days, worshipers were expected to pay a temple tax, which consisted of a half a shekel, and to be paid annually. Everyone, rich or poor, was to pay their temple tax during the month of Adar. It was sometimes necessary to change a shekel into two halves, or to exchange foreign money from the Jewish half shekel. The men who followed this business made their living by charging a percentage for the exchange. It appeared as if people were performing a service. However, after scrutinizing their operations, it was clear that they were profiting unjustly at the expense of the people of God. Number two, the den of thieves. The turtle dove and pigeon were the only birds that the people could offer in sacrifice. The poor usually selected the dove, Genesis 15 and 9, Leviticus 5 and 7, Leviticus 12 and 6, Luke 2 and 24. Many vendors filled the marketplace in the vicinity of the temple in hope of selling doves to those on their way to the temple. That Jesus referred to their work as making the house of God a den of thieves is evidence that their deceitful ways oppressed the poor and took advantage of them. When Jesus found them inside the temple, he became angry. They had no right to bring their marketing skills and scheme into the temple. We must take precaution not to allow the same spirit to affect us today. We recognize when people use their access to the church for personal gain, it is improper and it displeases God. Jesus gave another command to the people after his rebuked their filling the temple with improper things and activities. Jesus would not suffer that any man would carry any vessel through the temple. Mark 11:16. The temple was not to be a thoroughfare or a walkway. Because the Jews respected the temple, no one was to bear a burden within the temple. The temple was not a place for just passing through. Now, let's look at another point. The priesthood was unfruitful. Sadly, the priests of that day heard the message of Jesus, but did not recognize where the message came from. They were so caught up with their activities that they were taking place in the temple that they did not understand the direction being given by Jesus. The end result of their lack of understanding was that they were fearful for their position, worked to preserve their place, and they were unfruitful for God's work. Only when we work according to the plan of God, we will have fulfillment and security in Him. Many items manufactured today bear a statement that indicates that the product is warranted against defect in the workmanship as long as it is used according to as it is intended purpose. In other words, the product is only warranted by the maker if it was used the way the maker intended for it to be used. This is especially true for the church. We are warranted to accomplish our task as long as we are involved in the purpose and plan of God. There is nothing to fear as long as we are working within God's plan. Let's look at another point. Point C. Unfruitfulness has brought barrenness. The unfruitfulness of the priests have brought spiritual barrenness among the people. Barrenness always takes place when there is no fruit, for the seed of reproduction are in the fruit. If the fruit is not produced, the cycle of growth cannot continue. Spiritual barrenness also is the end result of fruitless churches. Let's look at the curse of barrenness. When the tree was unfruitful, Jesus cursed the tree with barrenness. Jesus stated that the tree would be barren and no one would ever eat fruit from that tree again. Barrenness is the long-term result of unfruitfulness. If a person does not cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, he would not produce seeds of evangelism. Over time, if he does not win souls by bringing individuals to a saving knowledge of Christ, barrenness will result. We must not withhold our hands from sowing the seeds of the gospel so that we may continue to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. Barrenness is the curse of being unfruitful. Chosen to bear fruit as children and of God is so much better than becoming barren and not having the ability to bear fruit. Now, when Rachel could not have children, she cried out to God that he would lift the curse from her barrenness. Her cry also should be the cry of the church. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." Genesis 30:1. She was desperate to bear children. So it is, children of God should surely suffer barrenness if they do not produce the fruit of souls being born into the kingdom. We should choose to be fruitful and to win souls for Christ. Our next point, the temple worship was dead from within. When Jesus entered the temple, he found people doing things unrelated to the work of the temple. He rebuked them and drove them out, like the fig tree that could not produce fruit. Temple worship in Jerusalem had decayed. After leaving the temple, the disciple was amazed to see the fruit tree had dried up from the root. The curse of Jesus had already taken hold on the tree, but the dried up root was also symbolized the problem with the tree. The problem with the fig tree was internal, not external. The problem went all the way to the root, so that it was Jesus caused his death to begin. In the same sense, temple worship had dried up from itself its root of rotten leadership. John Maxwell has said, everything rise and fall on leadership. Spontaneity and responses in the pews hinges on the leadership that comes from the pulpit. Anointed preachers stimulate and enliven the church. The fig tree dried up from its root upward. There had to be an unbroken connection between the root, the trunk, and the branches to protrude from the trunk. They all must be connected. As described in John 15, the child of God, like the branches, receive their life and strength from God, the trunk and the root. We must abide in God and he in us. Now, I want to say that again. We must abide in God and God in us. Unless the corrupted root of the pharisaical leadership, we know that God is well and strong. We must maintain connection to him to ensure our spiritual health, our source of strength and power as a church is not in our program, but is in our combined individual relationship with God. The power and greatness of the church lies within our ability to allow God to work through us to accomplish his purpose in the world. Now, I believe firmly that on this day, as they memorialize Michael Jackson, I believe that he allowed God to accomplish his purpose for the world through him, through music, even though it was in the secular realm. He also broke down many racial barriers. He's done a lot of work, but he allowed himself to be used in a different fashion, in a different way, to touch the lives of many people. And we bring all that glory and we give all that honor unto God. And you, child of God, you have a purpose that God wants to use you and work in and through your life. Yes, some are being used in the corporate realm. Some are being used greatly in the neighborhood and things, but all for the glory and the honor of God. And then we have the church, his bride, who is being used greatly to bear his name and to bear forth his praise. Even our work in the corporate realm, it should bring glory and honor unto God. Even on our job, it should bring glory and honor unto God. In our family, it should bring glory and honor unto God, giving them forth the praise. Husbands and wives, as they're working together for the glory of God, to bring glory to God out of their relationship. Children, as they obey their parents and working together in the spirit of unity and oneness within their family, to bring forth glory and sweet aroma unto God for his goodness and mercy as he has instituted the church and as the marriage and the family as his greatest institution here on earth. Now, if we as branches of Christ become diseased and fruitless, he will cut us off, but the church shall remain strong. We must stay connected to our source of strength and bear good fruit for his cause. Now, that's why I often tell the children of God that, yes, we're going to have trial, we're going to have tribulation, but to stay connected to the body of Christ, stay connected to the church, and not allow yourself to be pulled out or away from the church. Now, let's look at the blessedness of fruitlessness. Fruitfulness. Bearing fruit brings real fulfillment and joy. In John 15, Jesus exhorted us to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full." John 15 and 11, Jesus plainly declared that we can only have fruitfulness of joy when we bear fruit. Jesus further states, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." John 15 and 8. When we are not fruitful or fruit bearers, we do not please God. The way to please him and to be true disciples is to be fruitful. Now let's look at the house of God. What are the characteristics of God's house? A tree is known by its fruit. So is what the fruit that would identify the tree of God, the house of God. We expect to find apples on an apple tree. We do not expect to find grapes on a peach tree. As a fruit identifies a tree, so there are characteristics that identify the church. Now let's take a look at these characteristics. Number one, Christ's house is a house of prayer. Jesus wanted his house, his church, to be a place of prayer, Mark 11, 17. Prayer is one of the most important things a child of God can do. In their effort to console a person who is sick or facing difficult circumstances, there are some individuals who say, "All we can do is pray." But prayer should not be our last resort. Prayer should be our first action. Prayer is vitally important to the church. A church that knows how to pray will experience revival. Number two, looking at the house of God. Christ's house is a house of praise and worship. The house of God also should be a place that is filled with the praise and worship. The praise and worship differ slightly in their purpose and fulfillment in the church. Praise is to express the worth of something or of a person. Praising God is the vehicle that takes us into the present, his presence. Praise is our physical, verbal, and emotional expression of God's word. On the other hand, worship is to bow down in submission to a higher being. Worship is a lifestyle of submission. God desired his house to be a house of praise that will lead us into the presence of God so that we can worship him. Number three, the house of God. Christ's house is a house of healing. In addition to being a place of prayer and praise and worship, the house of God should be a place of healing. Many people suffer from emotional hurts and failure. The church should have the balm, should have the balm of Gilead and the soothing salve of relief, health, and hope. We can offer these to the hurting of this world only when Jesus is in the church. Next, the house of God. Christ's house is a house of salvation. The ultimate characteristic of the church should be for salvation of souls. The house of God should be known as a house of salvation. It is a place where people of the world can receive remission of sin and a brand new life through repentance of sin and water baptism in the name of Jesus and receiving the Holy Ghost. So here we find the various area and aspects of the church and the house of God as being a house of prayer, a house of praise and worship, a house of healing, and a house of salvation. These are key and vital that we maintain the focus and the plan that God has for his house. Now let's look at the fruitful Christian life. Every Christian should bear fruit and exhibit the characteristics of having Christ within. Fruit of the Spirit. Speaking with other tongues is the initial evidence of a person receiving the Holy Ghost. However, bearing the fruit of the Spirit is the long-term indication of the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit-filled life. Apostle Paul wrote concerning the fruit of the Spirit in his epistle to the church of Galatia. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Now, faithfulness to God, the church, the word of God, the work of God is necessary fruit that every believer should inhibit. Faithfulness is determined by every decision we make in regards to our relationship with God. Next, prayer. Individual needs a commitment to prayer. It is not enough to pray only whenever there is an urgent prayer request. Consistent daily prayer is vital to every Christian relationship with God. Stewardship. Money, riches, and possessions are mentioned more times in Scripture than any of this other subject. God is concerned about the fruit we bear regarding our stewardship. Stewardship is making good use of the gifts and resources that God entrusted to us. It is not hoarding or hiding our resources, but using them effectively to further our personal spiritual growth and the kingdom of God. People who do not pay tithes and give offerings fail to do so because of their lack of knowledge and lack of faith and lack of obedience. Either they do not understand the principle of giving, they do not trust God, or they defy that which they know is right and required by God. God has commanded us to honor him with our substance and increase. Proverbs 3 and 9. We must bear the fruit of good stewards. Our next point, witnessing. Again, we're looking at the fruit of a child of God's life, witnessing. We live in a world with many dry and parched individuals who are dying from spiritual thirst. The child of God has the living water and should share what they have with the lost of this world. The child of God who hoards and holds their experience and do not share it will not be fulfilled. The word witness is synonymous with the word soul winner. We will not be able to win every person to whom we witness feel we should share our personal experience in Christ. Jesus Christ commanded us to be witnesses after receiving the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 4. Every child of God should bear the fruit of sharing their faith and experience with others. Now, let's take a moment here and let's take a look again at the fruitful child of God life. The fruit of the Spirit, which we know is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Then we have faithfulness. Then we also have prayer, as well as stewardship, as well as witnessing. These things are very vital for us to share in our lives and to be evidenced in our lives as a child of God. Now, we talked about the promise with no proof. Again, looking at the fig tree, that it didn't bear any fruit. There was leaves there, but Jesus came looking for a fruit. Don't you know God is looking for a fruit in your life, in all of our lives, to bear fruit? You're here for a purpose and a reason. Number one, to show forth the praises of him that called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light, to constantly give him praise and letting our life be a praise of the glory and honor of what God is able to do as yielded vessels unto him, making an impact in our home, husband and wife, making an impact, a purposefully living in their harmonious relationship to bring glory and honor unto God. Oh, come on, child of God. As we move in higher into the things of God, as we begin to think about how we intersect with one another, how we interrelate with one another, is it bringing glory and honor unto God? We got to constantly keep the glory and honor of God in the forefront of our mind, even when we deal with our enemies and those that come up against us, bringing glory and honor even unto God, for the glory of God. Even we read the story about Joseph and how that all that happened within his family and things. And Joseph had rights to be angry. Joseph had rights to even not to even help his brethren when they came to him and in Pharaoh's palace and things. But Joseph had a tender heart, and God used him in a profound way, and he sought no revenge, but he had mercy within his heart. And so we as children of God, when we're looking at how we intersect and how we begin to relate with one another, let the love of God take precedence in our heart. Let the peace of God reign supreme, that you will see the fruit of that peace and the fruit of that even long-suffering. The fruit of that will bring glory and honor unto God, child of God. Yes, it may not seem comfortable. It may not feel nice, but it's bringing glory and honor unto God and a fruit that will remain unto God. Look at, even again, as we talk about even Michael Jackson and all of the tribulation and all of the things that he have done, but look at the fruit of love, that how it touched the world globally, around this world, how it touched and impacted people across denominational barriers, people across cultural barriers, people across even racial barriers. God used that man for a purpose and a reason. And I pray that our lives will be used to the glory of God, making an impact, bearing the fruit of righteousness, God's righteousness, bearing his love and his goodness, his faith and meekness and temperance and love, long-suffering and gentleness, bearing the fruit of the righteousness of our God. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. He's a God that have all power in his hand. And he wants us to show forth that praise in everything we do. No matter what your lot is in life, you can still yet live your life to be a testament of what God is able to do through a yielded vessel, yielded to the dunamis power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's coming back for his people. And we as children of God, we must recognize as never before that our redemption is drawing nigh. And we must look up and live and work as never before in the kingdom of God for his glory, for his honor, and his praise to the glory of our Father, which is in heaven. And I come to tell you, Radio Land, that we must work while it's day. Night come, no man will be able to work. If ever was a time to work, this is our time. If there ever a time to witness, this is our time to witness and share our testimony of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We must, as never before, share and ask God, Lord, who can I talk to? God, who can I touch, Lord? Who can I make an impact? Use me for your glory. Walk through my life, God. Walk through my mind, God. Walk through my ambitions, God. Walk through my goals, God. Walk through the essence of my entire being, God. I yield my life over into the mighty hand of God, who created me, who have a plan, who have a purpose for each and every one's life. What we must do is tap into it, and I invite you to consider to tap into the purpose that God has for your life, or why you were created, or why you're even here on this earth. God will reveal it unto you as you yield yourself over unto him for the glory of our Father, which is truly in heaven. Today we have studied both the danger of choosing not to bear fruit for Jesus Christ, and the blessedness of fruit bearing. Only as we choose to become fruitful in Christ, we will experience the full spectrum of Christ's joy. Jesus cursed the fig tree that would not produce fruit. It appeared healthy from its leaves and branches, but it was useless as a fruit tree. He pronounced that it would never bear fruit again, and it dried up from its roots and died. Jesus also went into the temple to discover the rottenness that had developed in Judaism. Its leaders were corrupt and performed unbiblical practices that took advantage of the poor and disadvantaged. Jesus turned over the table of the money changers and the doves and drove them from the temple. We need to bear fruit and perform that which Christ has called us to do. The fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, prayer, stewardship, witnessing are some of the fruits that should characterize the child of God. We want to be fruitful and please our Savior by fulfilling his purpose on earth. Oh, child of God. As never before, God expects every part of his kingdom to be fruitful, the church, the ministry, and the child of God. It all must be fruitful. And so as we make up our minds and begin to say, God, I want to bear fruit and be fruitful. See, what sometimes the adversary will come to do is get us so fixated on offenses or so fixated on tribulation and so fixated on problems that may come up in our lives or experiences that we have gone through and not think or see that God wants us to bring glory and honor and the praise in spite of all of those things. Out of our lips, out of our lives. Yes, perhaps you've gone through some things, but thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory of giving him the praise and glory that he brought you out with a mighty outstretched hand. Thanks be unto God, our provider, our protector. mind regulator, heart fixer. God is able to do all things exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And if you have the Holy Ghost residing down within you, you can tap into that power, and call out unto God and say, God, help me, strengthen me, fortify me, God, that I may bear the fruit that you're calling me out to bear, God. Let me not miss my purpose and not the time that you're calling me. But, Father, right in my own location and abode, begin to start bearing fruit. Bearing fruit in the community, bearing fruit in your home, bearing fruit in the church, bearing fruit in the ministry that God has given unto you as a child of God, being fruit bearers, mind regulators, that God will regulate our minds. But 1 Peter says here, 2 and 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. God called us out that we may praise him, that we may give him the glory and the honor, that you may move forward even in ministry to the glory of God. And many times we think ministry is just behind the pulpit, but it's not. Ministry is in our daily lives. Ministry is in our community. Ministry is in our home. Ministry is in every aspect of our life, of serving and helping one another, loving one another, forgiving one another, being long-suffering, faithful to God and the things of God, letting goodness abound in our lives. Let the peace of God exude in our lives and his love and even his meekness and temperance being our fruit upon our lives. And so, child of God, God wants us to know it is important for us to bear fruit in our lives and in our communities and in the place that God has called us to. And on today, I send you back to your family, send you back to the community, send you back to your own neighborhood, and make an impact for Jesus Christ by being that light in the dark and a benign world, being a smile for someone that is downtrodden and helping them up and to encourage them and showing the love of Christ, inviting them back out to the house of God and bringing and walking along the side of them and journeying with them as they coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and things. God wants to do it in and through our lives. Give them your hands today. Give them back your eyes today. Give them back your heart today, your whole being, and allow God to reign supreme in your life. Allow the Lord Jesus Christ to reign supreme in your life. Yes, he may be in your life, but is he reigning supreme in our lives? And that's the question that I would want to leave you with today as you grab a hold of the fact that we must bear fruit. And as we are bearing fruit, are we allowing Jesus Christ to reign supreme in our lives? Oh, child of God, behold the Lamb of God. I present him to you today. I invite you today to give your life to him. I invite the backslider to turn their hearts back to God. I invite that one that is going wayward to turn your feet back into hither. I invite that one that is contemplating, should I stay in Zion? Should I go? Whose feet is in the church and in the world. I invite you to come back into the house, your Father's house, and do his work as never before. Repent of your sins. It's just that easy. All you have to do is repent. Godly sorrow, turning away from that thing that you know that is not pleasing unto God, and giving your heart back to him, and moving forward in the power of the Holy Ghost, and allowing him to be great and be God in your life. Oh, child of God, wonderful Savior, King of kings, Lord of lords, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. We worship you today on this glorious day, God, of your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. God, we give you glory out of our lives, God, out of our thoughts and out of our behavior, God. Let it bring glory and honor unto you, O God, as we decrease, God, increase in our lives, increase in our conversation, increase, O God, in our decisions, O God, in the name of Jesus, as we rededicate our lives all over again and back into your hand again, God. Father, I come and I bring your people today as never before unto thee, O God, as they're drawing nigh unto you, turning their hearts and their minds back unto you, O God. We ask that you will have your way, Lord, and move by your power divine. And Father, we'll give you the glory and the honor. Let your fruit abide in our life, God. Let your love, let your joy, let your goodness, let your meekness, let your faithfulness, God, your goodness, Lord, your temperance, long-suffering, God, let it all abide in our lives. Peace, let it abide, God, that when you come back and you say, can I find faith, Father, you'll find your people being faithful unto you and the things of God. Oh, Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, we worship you, O Lamb of God, on this glorious day. We praise you and say amen and amen to your wonderful, wonderful name. Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Even as we pray and speak, let your divine and your sacred and your holy will be done in the lives of your people. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is our God and your name. We thank you for being with us on today. I just felt the special anointing on today as we live victoriously through the word of empowerment coming from biblical lessons and principles, exploring the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy for today's living. Is still yet relevant for today. As we draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto us. In my conclusion and closure for today, as the Lord so profoundly given me, if you don't have it, God got it. And you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. So if you have thrown in the towel, I encourage you to go back and start all over. And if you have prayed this prayer and was one that turned your life back around into the hand of God, I want you to give me a call or email me and let you know. We will send you out more information that it will be a blessing unto you as you walk closely to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May God bless you today and strengthen you as you be blessed in the things of God. May God bless you is my prayer. Bye-bye.